Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we're here to help you. What's on your mind today? You know what? You can give us a call. You know the drill. The telephone number is 303-713-8255. We are injury attorneys in our day lives, in our radio lives here with you. We'll answer your questions, solve your problems on any legal question, on any legal subject that you want. It doesn't matter. It could be landlord-tenant, wills and estates, evictions, title problems, survey problems, easement issues. We've covered it all on this state, on this show, and we're glad to do it. You can give us a call. The number again, 303-713-8255 in the mountains. Steamboat Springs and surrounding areas and in the mountains. You can call us at 970-457-1009. That's 970-457-1009. Don't forget, if you want a copy of our new books, our first book that we published called Don't Get Hurt Twice in the Same Accident, Once in the Accident, and Again on the Insurance Claim. Think about that. You can get a free copy of the book. You can go to our website, championsofthepeople.com, download the book. It's free. You can get a hard copy. You can just call the studio right here. Tell Kevin we'll send it to you. You can email our law firm. It's easy. It's important. And in that book, we cover the myths of insurance companies and car crashes and injuries. The myths. One of the biggest myths is, sure, if I have an accident, if I'm injured, surely somebody will pay me. Surely somebody will take care of me. Surely I'll be treated fairly. Fairly. The other book, it's available right now. It's called Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. And they are cowards of the street. Hit and run. You hit somebody, you injure them, you kill them, you leave. Ridiculous. Not only are there criminal violations for that, leaving the scene, failing to render aid and assistance, felony charges, but also there's civil rights. And in the last half of that book, Cowards of the Street, we tell you and show you pictures and examples step by step how you can protect yourself before an accident happens. Before, and it gives you the insurance deck sheets. And I've said before in the air, if anybody wants my personal deck sheet, I'll just give it to you. I've done it several times. You can see what we do. All right. We're talking about, we did a show yesterday on the job injuries and a car crash. If you're on the job and you have a car crash, what are your rights? How do you do it? What should you do? And does anybody know what the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution says or does? Does anybody care? And what did the 14th Amendment do in the history of this country? Very important. What about the first 10 amendments, which are the Bill of Rights? Very important. We're going to talk law with Rita now. Good morning, Rita. How are you? Welcome to Bell and Pollock.
Oh, hi. I'm in here in Trinidad, Colorado, and we have a problem here because some people don't understand that we're not in something called NATO. Do you know what NATO is?
No.
Well, it's actually British Empire, and it's been here for about 100 years since they had something called the Picket Wire War here.
Yeah.
They never got rid of it, but we have something called the mob here, and people that have last names are supposed to understand that I have range rights here, and there's a district judge named Manzanares, and still people think that there's supposed to be a last name called Manzanares. And he is supposed to let me talk to my NATO contact here because we're not in NATO, Northeast Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Rita, do you have a question for us?
Yeah.
Yeah,
what's
your question?
I need to understand that if he's going to have a last name called Manzanares, he needs to let me talk to my NATO contact here because I have range rights from the four states of Oregon. I actually have rights that came from the only pope named John since the 14th century.
Well, what is your question, Rita?
Well, if people have last names, then they're supposed to understand that there are Christians that get to live here in Trinidad, Colorado.
Okay, somebody stopping you from living there?
No, I live here. I've lived here for 21 years.
Okay. Well,
I did a lot of work in California, but they figured out that this place... It's actually really tied to the mob, and they don't have a drug sniffer dog at the post office here because a lot of heroin comes through here. And a lot of...
What's your question?
It's about human trafficking, man.
Okay.
Human trafficking goes on in Trinidad, Colorado, and we're supposed to get rid of it because we're supposed to get rid of the British Empire out of our border town.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, do you understand that?
I think I do. I haven't got to a question yet. You have a question for me?
I need this guy to understand where we live is not part of the British Empire, okay?
And this guy's a judge?
Yeah, District Judge Jesse Manzanares. He's supposed to understand where we live here.
Well, you know, the problem I'm having is you've put this with regard to the range rights, and range rights usually refer to fencing rights of property.
No. This refers to the states of the United States and the Constitution and how states go together to say who has migration rights. In the four states of Oregon or Washington, Oregon, Utah, and Colorado, and that's who has authority here. It's about authority. You know what it's about? It's about power. It's about the power.
Okay, Rita, we got some people holding for questions. If you want to give Kevin information, I'll be glad to talk to you, but we got to move on.
Sure. I'll give you my number.
I'll just put you on hold.
Don't do it on the air.
No, don't get it on the air.
We'll talk off here.
All right, thanks for the call. All right, you're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Right now we're going to talk a lot with Bill. Good morning, Bill from Lakewood. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's going on?
Just a follow-up when I called up last week about the gun ranges.
Yeah, you did.
Did you find anything out on that?
No.
I've been unable to find anything that says the gun ranges need to or are required to black out any Social Security numbers. I'm still working on it, but...
The question was about them taking the driver's
license and posting it. And so far, we haven't finished that, man. I'm glad you called back.
I'm just calling just to follow up.
We're going to do it. But we found nothing so far. That's where we are.
Okay.
Nothing that says they can't do it, if that's what you're asking.
Right.
The fact that they put it up on the wall.
Yeah, right.
You know, identity stuff is going crazy right now.
It is. You've got a great point. We're just not finished, so you hang on till next week. We're going to get your problem.
Yeah, okay.
No. 2 weeks, because next week's Thanksgiving. So
okay.
Two weeks, but we're
still. Have a good Thanksgiving, then.
Hey, same to you, and thank you for the call.
And Bill, we will address it, because what we've been trying to find out, if there's any legal restriction from posting those licenses.
Another thing, Bill, the way we were looking, so that you'll understand, is that you have things controlled by statute, but a lot of things are, quote, the law that are issued by rules and regulations by administrative agencies. And so that's where we are. But we sure appreciate your call.
I think.
All right. So we'll get him in 2 weeks for a follow-up. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, the only show of its kind. You can ask us a question on any legal subject that you want. You can also go to our website if you want a copy of our free book. If you want to listen to any of our podcasts on injury shows or this show, you can go to our website. You can listen to them there for free. If you want a CD of them, we'll give them to you for free. If you want our books, we'll give them to you for free, because we are your champions of the people. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Pull up your chair, your legal coffee, your legal bagel. We're ready to go for you. Telephone number is 303-713-8255. 713-8255. In the mountains, you can call us at 970-457-1009. Welcome, KEZZ 94.1 FM, Steamboat Springs, surrounding areas, and welcome to all of our stations and listeners. We're here for you. Yesterday, Brad and I cut a show on an injury subject. If you're on the job like a delivery person, your UPS truck, you're delivering pizza, you're on a sales call, anything that you're doing on the job and you have a car crash, special circumstances arise. You want to listen to the show. What can you do? What are your rights? How do you approach it? We're right there on the show, and it's going to air tomorrow morning at 7:30 on a variety of stations and in the mountains as well. And that'll be in the mountains next week. You can call us here, 303-713-8255, the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution. Anybody know what that is? How important that is to us? What did it do? Brad, let's talk a little bit about what did it do to the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, which are known basically as the Bill of Rights. What are we talking about here?
Well, first, let's do a little bit of cleanup. We mentioned earlier we weren't going to be here next Saturday. We are going to be here next Saturday.
So, correct.
We're not going anywhere next Saturday. So the 14th Amendment applies the first 10 amendments to the states. Until the 14th Amendment, when we had the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, as they're known, those only apply to federal action. The 14th Amendment takes those due process rights and all the equal protection rights that are in the first 10 amendments, and they apply them to the states, thus requiring that the states give the same protections to their citizens as the 14th Amendment gives to, or as the first 10 amendments give to the federal, or through the federal rights.
Right. So when you're talking about all these hot topics, and this is not a political show, so we're not going to get any political information or conversation, but when you talk about all these hot topics, the First Amendment, right to free speech, and right to freedom of religion, the Second Amendment, and we have the right to bear arms, and we got search and seizure requirements in the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, against self-incrimination and other areas in there, the Sixth Amendment, the right to counsel, the right to confront witnesses in a trial, the right to be held, to have your matter decided by a jury of your peers. The Seventh Amendment, the Eighth Amendment, that's how you're living with these amendments. That's why we have these conversations and people, whatever side of the gun issue you're on, whatever the side of the search and seizure warrant, Miranda, that's how they all apply to the states. They apply to Colorado, they apply to Texas, they apply to California, and that's how it was done. But the first amendments were federal Bill of Rights amendments.
And once again, like any amendment, the 14th Amendment has taken on a life of its own. It was first implemented back in about 1868. It was right after the Civil War. It obviously preceded the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery, and it was really to address at that time the black codes that some of the states were instituting after the Civil War, and in order to combat the black codes, the 14th Amendment was imposed or enacted to stop that. It was a direct effect of the United States Supreme Court of Dred Scott versus Sanford cases. And, I don't know anybody who, at least in our age, went through their history books that didn't learn about the Dred Scott
exactly
case.
The name almost really fit the circumstances and situation, but when you think about that history and how we talk about today and the right to free speech and in the history of that First Amendment, the right to free speech, conscientious objectors to wars, the right to free speech. Can you yell fire in a crowded theater? No, you can't. United States Supreme Court decision. So there are limitations on the right to free speech. The United States Constitution is one fascinating document. And so that we got one side in the political thing, the strict constructionist, you can only do what the Constitution says by its words, and the other ones you've got to interpret it, and somehow you've got to interpret it. But if you look at the Constitution, some of them, like the Privilege and Immunities Clause, no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of the citizen of the United States. That's what it says. What does it mean? Oh, what do you mean, what does it mean? Well, I mean, what does it mean? It's a fascinating study of the United States, and we're talking a lot with Steve. Good morning, Steve. Welcome to Bell and Pollock.
Good morning. I appreciate you taking the call.
Sure.
14th Amendment, the case I'm looking at is Thompson versus the city of Louisville. That's 80 Supreme Court 624.
Okay.
And it talks about loitering, and the reason I think this applies here in Denver. If you stay out in front of a business, if you stand out in front of a business, like I say, and it goes back to the Dred Scott
decision?
It goes back to Jim Crow laws. If you're standing in front of a liquor store, just talking with your buddies, it's not loitering. I may be incorrect. It's not loitering until you're standing out there by Denver City Ordinance. You have to stand out there for 30 minutes or more. The second thing is the panhandlers on the street corners. If you look at this Thompson versus Louisville case, disorderly conduct, But my understanding was, and I may be wrong, Denver used to have a panhandler's license for $75 a month, and you could legally stand out there. And they would put you through an instructional course as where to panhandle and what your rights were. But the 14th Amendment, it was an extension of the 13th Amendment, which was really, the 13th Amendment said that black people were free unless they committed a crime. And then at that point in time, if you were convicted of a crime, and that's where the Jim Crow law came in, you know, walking down the middle of a railroad track, you could get arrested.
Okay, but you raised an interesting legal point, so let's just talk about it a little bit. Because, so the city and county of Denver passes an ordinance that says you can't do the following, A, B, C.
Right.
Or X, Y, Z.
Right.
Okay, so how does the United States Constitution apply to that ordinance? I mean, the Denver City Council passed it, so how does it apply to that ordinance?
Well, if it's equal protection, okay, I could be a non-minority, be talking to a friend of mine in another part of town, sitting out front talking about the football game, blah, 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 and the police come along. They won't say nothing, but if I'm talking in a minority neighborhood out in front of a liquor store talking about football, all of a sudden here come the police, say, oh, hey, come here, and I get arrested for loitering. So the ordinance was reading, and I read the ordinance. It's been so long ago, I don't remember, and I may be incorrect. But the ordinance, I believe, reads 30 minutes before it's loitering. So in this case here in Louisville, the guy... what kind of conduct? Loitering and disorderly conduct. So this is the gray area. What is considered loitering and what is considered disorderly conduct, especially when a person, and don't get me wrong, I don't like the guy standing on the street corner with the cardboard signs. I just go, hey, go get a job, go to school. But to arrest that person, or let's have a panhandling license.
Well, but I mean, you just gave us the Reader's Digest version of law school and the law. You know, what does it mean? I mean, what does loitering mean? But my legal point is, so the city, any city, I don't care, any state, passes a law or ordinance that says you can't do A, B, C, you can't do X, Y, Z. Well, the question is it constitutional? What does that mean? Does it pass under the Constitution? You can pass any law you want, but it can be struck down because it violates the Constitution. Then we get into, well, wait a minute, the U.S. Constitution doesn't say those exact words, but somebody's got to interpret it, and so I'm going to interpret it as the judge on this case. I'm going to strike down as being in violation of the United States Constitution.
Let's go back, because what we talk about in the loitering concept, versus panhandling. Panhandling has been, the concept generally is looked at as people who are walking around with signs trying to get money. And I think Judge Krieger recently... A federal court judge did address that issue in saying you can't stop panhandling simply because they're walking around with a sign, because that's a violation of their right, the content of their speech. You can't discriminate based on the content of speech, and that's the right to their free speech. We go to the loitering side of it, which I think in your Thompson versus City of Louisville, Thompson was out dancing on a dance floor by himself, and the police came in and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm waiting for a bus. And they determined that he was loitering, and they said, and then they convicted him of violating the loitering statute. And you're right, they went through there and they said, wait a minute, you can't apply laws differently to different classes of citizens. And that's what the 14th Amendment is all about. It says you can't apply laws differently to different classes of citizens simply because you don't like who the citizen is, and your laws can't be applied different to different classes of citizens.
But along those lines, I want to ask you a question, Steve, because we got a break coming up, but I want to ask you a question, a rhetorical question probably, but suppose you live in Denver, right?
Right.
Okay, suppose the city of Denver passes an ordinance that says we want to use your house, you've got to leave.
Right.
And you own your house. And so where does the relief come from? Okay, so in that question, and that's how we got condemnation. The power of the government to confiscate appropriately certain property, but where did that come from? And so if they're going to take your house, we have certain constitutional legal rights, and so that's the argument. That's where the genesis is. That's the origin.
But then you go back on the historical, What did we do to the native people? What did Europeans do to native people?
Well, yeah, and that almost gets into philosophical or...
Imminent destiny, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So we're in violation. Like recently they had these floods up in the long line. Oh, I've been here since 1868. Okay, where did you get the property?
Well, you know, exactly, and that's why it makes it so fascinating, because they pass an ordinance, you've got to move out of your house because we passed an ordinance. No, I don't, and besides, I have certain constitutional rights, and you've got them in Colorado and in this state because the 14th Amendment incorporated them and applied the first 10th Amendment Bill of Rights to the states. Thanks for the call.
Great call. Great call.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, welcome. KRDO Colorado Springs, KKZN, KHOW, and 94.1 FM KEZZ Steamboat Springs and surrounding areas. The only show of its kind. You can call us on any legal subject. Beth, we're going to get to you. Paul, we're going to get to you. But first, we're going to talk to Eric over at Caitlin's. You got your deck open today, Eric?
You know, if you want to brave it, I'll open it up.
I like your attitude.
How accommodating can somebody be?
Absolutely.
What's cooking over there?
We got a couple things going on. I'm going to give you our specials for the next 2 weeks. Our breakfast special is going to be corned beef hash. Now, you can substitute out for the regular hash browns on any one egg or two egg plates, only for a dollar more. That's going to be for the next 2 weeks. And our lunch special is going to be a steak burrito. We're going to load that up with sautéed bell peppers and onions, get our scratch-made red or green chili on the side with that. You can get beans and rice, lettuce, tomato, guac, and sour cream. 2 weeks on that special as well. And don't forget a Mondays and Fridays from 11 to 2. Every Monday, every Friday from 11 to 2. It's all you can eat. Taco and Brio Buffet. It's only $7.99. That actually comes with non-alcoholic beverage in the price. Can't beat that. And we got bottomless mimosas. It's a little chilly, but you can warm up inside and have a mimosa and relax and come on down to Caitlin's and hang out with us and the crew and come see what we got to offer.
Yeah, I don't have to go out on the deck to get my bottomless mimosas.
Absolutely not.
Okay, good. Don't do that.
Where's those cinnamon roll French toast things?
I have those, too. We actually have those, too. We cook our own cinnamon rolls daily here. So you can actually get that item any day. You just come in and ask for it. It's not on the menu, but it's right there. We can just grill it up and have it, no problem.
I just told you before, I don't think that's fair. We're talking about it.
You've got all those specialty pancakes. I'm going to have that with those.
Absolutely,
mimosas.
Absolutely.
Where are you located, Eric?
We're at 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. That's one block east of Colorado Boulevard, and that's in the Glendale Shopping Center.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Caitlin's Restaurant, you'll love it every bite of the way. I tell you what, what's the Seventh Amendment? I mean, I want you to understand this today. I want everybody to go to law school a little bit today. I want everybody to understand the law in this country. So let's just take a hot, legal, political topic. We're not going to get political. But the Second Amendment. Everybody says we got the right to bear arms. But why does the Second Amendment give, why does it apply to you? We say we've got it, but we're in a state. That's the federal government. That's the United States federal constitution. Very fascinating. Right now we're going to talk a lot with Beth. Good morning, Beth. Welcome to Bell and Pollock.
Yeah, I think the Second Amendment is the only right that we have at this point, because I've had every one of my Bill of Rights violated and my 14th, and I'm like a legally disabled person.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, I'm disabled in the sense that I've had so many legal troubles that haven't been addressed that I just don't know where to start, except that I need to assemble a coherent legal history of my troubles.
Okay, all right. And well, we'll be glad to help you. Do you have a question for us this morning?
First of all, well, I don't know where you guys wanted to go, but I'll tell you my troubles. I've seen the municipal courts abuse the ordinances of camping, loitering, and panhandling.
Right.
Because I have one of those that got inflated from just sleeping in my vehicle when I was under hardship.
Okay, but do you have a question for us, Beth? Can we help you with something, ma'am?
Okay, well, you guys have added a new category, philosophical. Is a ruling legal? Is a ruling political? Or is a ruling philosophical?
Well, those are very great, intelligent questions. Yeah. Yeah, they really are. I mean, you get a ruling from any court, and then some people say it's political. Somebody say, well, no, that was supported by the history of the U.S. Constitution. Other people say that wasn't in a strict interpretation of the Constitution because somebody interpreted it and gave it meaning. And that's, yeah, you got great comments, Beth.
Okay. And also in the family courts, which turn out to be probate courts, you have no rights at all. There is no jury. There's just you and the judge and maybe a screwed up lawyer. You have absolutely no rights. Now, how does a 14th Amendment, I mean, are there 14th Amendment lawyers that go around defending people based on the 14th Amendment? I mean, how is a person supposed to protect themselves at all? And there's very few lawyers, like maybe one or two in the whole Denver area, that enforce on RICO.
Well, okay, so I want to address part of your comment there, and Brad will jump in. But, you know, you say there's no jury trial in some of the courts, and the Seventh Amendment, you know, specifically says in suits at common law that you have a jury trial as developed in accordance with the common law, which we know we inherited from England. So there's some instances like divorces, there's no jury. No jury. But that's the way the common law was. There's some that have a jury trial like criminal cases, etc.
So you're gonna justify the atrocious abuse of people's rights based on some antiquated common law?
I didn't justify anything.
Well, the thing we have to remember is that, you know, as a legal show, we talk about what rights and what's out there. And when the 14th Amendment, you know, you're in a good situation when you're saying, wait a minute, is the 14th Amendment being applied? Are the laws being applied against homeless? Because when you talk about when you say camping and pandering and loitering all in one thing, you're basically talking about our homeless that we have in our state and across the country.
Or you might be talking about abused women who have to sleep in their car.
Even
if that means homeless for a night or whatever, abused for one reason or another, they don't have some place to go. They're not somewhere. And do we apply the laws differently against those people than we do with, let's say, if it had been somebody who is out there and has some kind of special privileges? And we try very hard to make sure that that's not happening, that the 14th Amendment is applied correctly, and we're not applying the law differently according to what classification of person you are. That's one of the great things about Judge Krieger's decision when she said, wait a minute, even though this person might be poor, even though they might not have anything, they have a right to freedom of speech, and we're going to let them have the right to freedom of speech. Now, you have to balance that, Beth, with the laws that talk about protection of people. If you have people sleeping out in their cars, they are endangered at times. They can be very much endangered. If you talk about people who are loitering or people who are panhandling, there may be an endangerment to other members of the public, depending on where you can identify a law that doesn't go too far, but yet protects people for their freedom to be able to move, freedom to be able to walk the streets, freedom to be able to not be hurt. And we've got those concerns that also need to be applied.
Well, I could actually, I mean, my legal disabilities span everything from personal injury to divorce to municipal ordinances, you know, and
right.
So forth. But I could actually use you fellows to obtain records, which is where I have an additional disability.
Gotcha. All right, Beth, I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to get your number and see what we can do for you, okay?
We'll help you.
All right, so you can give Kevin your information. We appreciate your call. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. If you want a free copy of our books, all you have to do is call here right now, 303-713-8255, or go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. You can download them, the first book, Don't Get Hurt in the Same Accident Twice, once in the accident and again on the insurance claim, and our other book, Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. Cowards of the Street, because they are cowards. We're talking law with Paul from Colorado Springs. Good morning, Paul.
Hi, guys.
What can we do for you, sir?
Well, I have told by my USAA that I waive underinsured motorist.
Right.
And I'm forced them to cough up a signature, which is required to do that. And they found one. My accident was in 2012, and they found the signature from 2009.
Right.
And then on the policies, it says, do you want to make any changes? or auto renew as is,
right,
on every policy renewal. And it says, all it says on the paper they produced was electronically signed this date at this time. So does that cover them from having to pay me for uninsured, underinsured, and I'll let you
know. So, what, are you saying you didn't waive it, you didn't sign it, or are you saying you did and well, maybe it shouldn't be applicable later on when they renew?
The latter.
The latter. So maybe you did waive it or sign it at one point in time, but you didn't intend to have it apply in perpetuity, ad infinitum, forever, correct?
Right.
Okay.
I mean, should it apply to my 2000 claim? And is just them saying on a piece of paper, electronically signed on this date, sufficient? I mean,
yeah,
that doesn't mean anything to me.
Well, I would want to see your particular thing and see all the different policies, how they've been renewed and what the statements are. Basically, right, the law provides, though, basically the law provides that if you sign the waiver of the UM-UIM coverage and you are...
We're getting feedback on your phone, Paul. You got to turn it down or the radio down, something. Yeah. All right.
There you go. Thank you. If you signed that the first time and you just auto-renew, then they're going to auto-renew under the same terms and conditions, and they can do that. And so your waiver just falls forward every single time.
Hey, Bob, we're going to put you on hold. Give Kevin your information, and we'll be glad to call you and talk to you because that's a very interesting question. I think these UIM question is going to make me jump off out the window of the studio. Go to your insurance company today and call and raise your UIM limits and your UIM limits as high as you can get them. And if you don't know what that means, get our book, Cowards of the Street, because the last half of the book explains to you exactly what you have to do.
And if you previously waived it, go back in and write to them and tell them you want UM, UIM coverage. You need this coverage, period.
It is, because we've preached about it so many times. If you get into an accident, I mean, you think, I'm not going to get in an accident, but if you do get in an accident and the other person says, I'm sorry, I don't have any car insurance, I'm sorry, or my favorite or unfavorite one, however you want to call it, is that you have an accident and they say, here's my insurance card, and then you call the insurance company and they say, no, that lapsed, that expired, they didn't pay the premium, there's no coverage. What are you going to do? As Elton John says, what are you going to do when the rain sets in? I tell you what you're going to do when the rain sets in. You're going to read the Bell and Pollock legal book. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. I guarantee you this is the only show of its kind. We are injury attorneys in our day lives and our radio lives. We're here to help you, and we're glad to do it. Where's this from? Listen to this. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, on and on. We do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. When you talk about double jeopardy, grand juries, gun rights, right to free speech, right to freedom of religion, right to assemble, wow. Wow. Think about that. That's the country, that's our Constitution, and that's why we talk about them in California, Oregon, Colorado, wherever you are, because we've got those rights under the Constitution. We're going to talk law with Dan now. Good morning, Dan. Welcome to Bell and Pollock.
Oh, thank you. I listen to your show every weekend on the way to work. I appreciate everything you guys say.
Thank you.
I got an uninsured motorist, and I just want to tell you a little story about, you don't have to have somebody hit you to screw you. My neighbor parked her car outside my next-door neighbor's house,
right,
and a truck came by and sideswiped it. He was drunk at the bar at 2 o'clock in the morning in Aurora. He went straight, and he hit my flower garden, which is concrete. So it wiped out his hole underneath of his Ford F-350 roofing truck. So he backed up. He had no steering. He went over my neighbor's hood. Then he went forward and landed up in my front yard. My wife wakes me up and says, Dan, we got a truck in the front yard. I think it just hit both our trucks. I run out there. This was 2 weeks ago. I ran out there just with my pants on, no shirt, no shoes. I grab the guy out of the truck. I grab his keys. I go, what are you thinking? I look at my trucks. My trucks are okay, but I knew he hit something because of his front end. We call up the police. They had two shootings in Aurora that night. They couldn't come. They said, we can't get there for a while. I said, that's fine. I'm going to grab this guy and sit on him because he's still there. I'll bring me $100 bills to pay for the car. They said, Mr. Tudor, if you touch that man, you will go to jail. I go, he's drunk. He's in my front yard. He just hit my neighbor's car, and you're telling me you can't get out here. They said, we're going to tell you one more time. You touch that man, we're going to put you in jail. If he runs, let him run. We've got his truck. So we grabbed all of his insurance papers and his address out of the glove box. He called up one of his buddies. He came out. He asked for the keys. I said, come and get him. He didn't come and get him. So they both took off running. My neighbor went after him, but he couldn't catch him. So the cops come about a half an hour later. They do their thing. So they tow the truck away. A week later, I talk to my neighbor, and I say, how'd it go with the insurance? He had a one-month insurance. The insurance isn't going to pay because they don't have a driver of the truck. So it really pays off to have an insured motorist.
Well, it does. You just said a mouthful. What a story, man. You're a very brave guy.
It's a true story.
The
truck was in my front yard, and I always wondered what would happen if somebody hit that brick, that they go through the windshield or whatever. But he was throwing $100 bills at us saying, I'll pay, I pay.
Well, Brad's going to jump in here, but that relates, your whole story, which is fascinating, and you're a very brave guy, relates to, another question we had with last week that said, somebody said, if we have an accident, I think it was Robert from Boulder, said, if we got an accident, can we physically get in a physical altercation with the other driver? And the answer is...
You just answered that one, didn't you?
You just answered it. You better not.
Hey,
well, you know what? For that driver, if he's out listening to your show, I'm sure he's not, but if he would have hit my two trucks and the cops and the insurance would have said that to me,
right,
I would have rolled over to his house. I got his address with about 20 Harleys, and I bet that guy would have paid me for my trucks there on the spot. So,
Dan,
my neighbor's different than I am, but I don't put up with that.
That's what I call an informal on-the-spot settlement.
Here's the thing.
And I don't have to touch him. All he's got to do is look over my shoulder, and he'll be flipped over hundreds to me. I can guarantee it.
Here's the thing, Dan, and you did bring up a good reason to have insurance on your properties and not depend on the other guy who's going to be negligent or not properly driving their vehicles. We've talked many times about the drunk drivers on the road, the people who have very little insurance and the people who have no insurance. And the people who have very little insurance, they're complying with law, so I don't fault them if that's
the best they can do. We had a picture of the guy. We had a picture of the truck. And in my opinion, Aurora shouldn't let that truck out until that man comes forward. That truck stays in the impound, and you ain't getting it back.
Well, I'm surprised the Aurora police can't track this guy and charge him for... Actually, he's done a hit and run.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, they had all of their roofing bags in the back. They had all of their roofing tools. And the next day, we had two trucks drive by my house really slowly looking for that truck.
So. Okay, but dissecting your facts into a legal analysis... is you got one side of the situation, which is a criminal violations, okay? And then we got the police.
It happens in my neighborhood every month.
Right, police involved, et cetera. But you got another side, which is a civil side, which are your damages and the garden, et cetera.
And they should be able to find the owner of the truck, and you can ID them. So they should be able, the police should be able to help you on this.
Yeah, we gave a picture of the truck and the guy. I took a picture of him. Picture of him when the police said they couldn't come out. I took out my phone. I said, hey, smile, click.
And
we have that happen in our neighborhood all the time because we have bars around our neighborhood. About 2 weeks before that, another guy hit a car. He missed the stop sign. He hit a car. And my wife and I went out to check out, see what happened. He walked by us holding his shoulder. My wife said, are you okay? He goes, oh, my shoulder. And he walked right by us. We go up to the wreck, and the lady goes, did you see the guy running down the street? I go, I don't think he was running. I think he was walking.
But, Dan, break it down to its components. When we have accident alert, when we got bad weather, it's a matter of priority whether we like it or not, because they're not going to come because of other things to do. So
these are people that don't have drivers.
I know, but when the police are tied up with, what I call guns and knives, situations, then your brick garden takes a lesser priority. Doesn't mean it's less, but it takes a lesser priority.
Now, the victims of crimes have
to... You know, I paid $45,000 for my truck, and I paid $40,000 for my Suburban. Right. I paid payments on them for 5 or 6 years. I worked every day and night to pay them off. You know, if I get a drunk guy in my yard that hits both of my trucks like that ever again, I don't have to worry about calling the cops. You know, that's just hard-earned money.
Yeah.
I mean, you just got to stop doing it.
The victims of crimes have to realize there are rights to restitution, too. But the bottom line is you're making an excellent case for exactly what we talk about. You need to have protection.
You got to have it. You only have 1 month insurance.
Right, right.
So protect yourself, everybody.
Dan, thanks for the call. That was a great call.
All right, bye.
Appreciate it. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice so we could do this Constitution, ensure domestic tranquility so we ordain this Constitution, provide for the common defense, the general welfare, excuse me. That's the preamble. That's where we are. That's why we have the United States Constitution. All right. If you want a copy of our books, just go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. It's right there for you. One is called Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. And in the last half of that book is just step-by-step instructions, okay, on what you do right now. Right now, you can get on the phone and call and how you do your UIM coverage. And if you want a copy of my own deck sheet for my own insurance company, I'll give it to you. It's just that easy. Don't forget about our shows tomorrow morning on workers' comp and car crashes. We do this different show every week on injury subjects. Go to our website. It's an information-loaded website because we are your champions of the people. We didn't have no internet, but man, I never will forget the way the moonlight shined upon.